God is a good God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I preached on a certain subject last week, entitled it "Remember." You know, it was Memorial Day, and got to thinking about memorials and things, and remembered things, and went that direction. And I think we're going to stay there that this week. I don't think we're done with that. So, you know, we have other series going. We'll get back to that. But I can't just preach whatever I want to preach, you know. Can't say, well, no, I'm going to stick with that. You know, I've done that. I don't know that I really have tried to do that, but you know, I have it. If you don't go with what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, then, and you try to do it in your own strength, then it's just you. You don't want to hear just me. You want to hear the Lord. So we're going to go in this direction. Let's look at your scripture sheet there, Exodus 3:14. It says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." We read that last week. A memorial is something you remember that points you to something that's happened or to a person or any number of things. But, you know, we talked about that and got into some of these things. I'm just going to review a little bit. 2 Timothy 1:6 on your scripture sheet, it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." So two things there. He's saying, I'm reminding you to stir up yourself, basically, the gift of God that's in you. Last week, we talked about remembering and reminding ourselves of what God has done. Let's look at a few more scriptures on your sheet there. Go down to Psalm 20. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God." If you weren't with us last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to the last message. We're not going to recap all that, but we'll cover some of it here. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." I like the way it says it there. We will remember. Other translations said, we'll trust in him. But you have to remember God in order to trust in him.
Right.
You know? You can with your mind know God and know that he is your deliverer and your savior. But if that doesn't become vital to you and in the front of your mind, that you can be right in the middle of a situation, you can have pressure on you, you can have all the answers you need in your mind like you've heard them, and not act on them, and not do anything with them. In fact, you are acting like you completely forgot that God is your Savior and your Deliverer, and that he's on your side. You could forget any number of things, practically speaking, like he's your healer. You could be walking around facing something and looking at the problem and just saying, I just don't know how I'm going to get past this, and looking at your pain or looking at your discomfort. And at that point, it's as if you've forgotten who God is and what he's done. It doesn't matter that you've heard it, because you're not remembering him. You're not remembering what he's doing. You don't remember that he's your healer. You say, and but somebody came up and you talked to him, they said, "Is God your healer?" Oh yeah, and you can quote, you know, a few scriptures, but you're acting like that's not true. It doesn't do you any good then. You may be in a situation where you need wisdom and you're not sure what to do. And if you just act like there's no help, I don't know what to do, and you tell your spouse, "What are we going to do?" And he said, "I don't know what to do." And you all the time, if I asked you what James 1:5 said, you might said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God, and he will give you liberally without reproach." But then you go right back to, "Yeah, I know that scripture, but I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation." Then it doesn't do, you've forgotten. I mean, it's like, did you just hear yourself? And we've all done it. It doesn't matter what we can quote. We have to go back and remember what God has done for us. We have to trust in him and remind ourselves. And this is a continual process. I'm sorry to say, unfortunately. There is no one-time, you know, fix, and that's it for the rest of your life. Has anybody ever found this out about the Christian life? There is no autopilot. God would that there was, but there's not. Just push this button, you're good. You know, these children that we just saw come up and say all those things in that super kid creed. Don't you wish they could just push a button and for the rest of their life, they don't have to do a single thing. They're just going to stay on the things of God. No, you know what? They're going to have to walk out, just like every one of us, their plan that God has for them. They're going to have to do it step by step. They're going to have to keep that fresh and vital. And all those things, I mean, you hear the powerful things that they're saying, the truths about God. You know what? Just like anybody else, they can forget. They can have had those things in their understanding, but where it becomes so active and real is when we, in the face of something, say, "No, I remember God," and you have to go back and do this. It says there, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." In other words, some people trust in natural things, but we're gonna trust in the Lord. We went over these all last week. That's why I'm going over them kind of quickly. Psalm 63:6, it says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." He's saying, I will remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in my night watches. Last week, we focus on, you need to go back and remember what God has done for you. Okay? You have to go back and focus. When you're faced with something, a challenge in life, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. When you just are in a situation at work, I've done this. You know, I'm a software engineer, and you come up against a problem. It's good to remember the things that you have solved before, just even in the natural. You go back and say, well, this looks like such and such. You get enough experience, you say, I don't know the exact thing, but this looks like something else that happened to me. And so that's in the natural, but in talking spiritually, you can come up against something, and I can remember how God, I would ask him for wisdom, and he would show me how to solve a problem at work. And so it's good when you don't know what to do in a problem to go back and say, yeah, but I came through this one, and I came through this other thing. And to remind yourself that at some point, you didn't know what you were going to do in this other situation, but that's in your rearview mirror now. So it's good to come back and say, God is faithful. Whatever situation it is, if it's healing, if it's wisdom, if it's a relational thing, if it's just, you're fighting just being down or being focused about life, to go back and say, I know how I felt. I felt like this at a different time, but God showed me and he brought me through. He's going to do the same thing here. To remind yourself of what he has done for you. Make it real, because it's like notches in your belt. Because the enemy's always going to tell you, this is different. This is harder. Yeah, he brought you through that, but that was just because this person was over here. And if you only knew that, then you would see it. And that's easy. Well, it's no different than where you're at now. It's just that you don't know. It's just that you're not in hindsight mode yet. When you're in hindsight mode and you can look back and see what happened, then it's 2020, you can say, oh, well, of course. I see how that would happen. But when you're in the middle of it, the enemy is going to play on your ignorance. When I say ignorance, I'm saying you don't know what all's going on around you exactly. You don't know what's getting set to happen. You don't know how you're actually really close to the answer. And he'll tell you, the enemy is so mean, he'll tell you, even when you're this close. And I found it's sometimes when you are so close that he will ramp it up and say, it's never going to happen. And it gets worse. He's trying to make you quit there. Why? Because you're this close. And if you take another step through, that's it. So what's he going to tell you? Never happening. He's going to ramp it up saying, this, you're done, buddy. I've shared this before, but when we were down at Rhema, You know, we put our house on the market. We determined we were coming out here. We had told people we were coming out here. We're going to start a church. We're moving to Andover. Why Andover? Because that's what we feel like God said and all this. And we were getting ready to go. I'd already told people. Now it comes to, I just got done with graduation. And, or no, we hadn't, I don't think we hadn't quite graduated, just done with the last classes. And we were getting to the point, we were getting everything in line to put our house on the market. And this was in 2006. And the market was starting to soften at this point. But we were getting everything ready. You know, I'm finishing up school. I got work. Just all these things. And plus, we're getting our house on the market. We were doing it ourselves. And so it was like, yeah, I mean, we're going to move out there. And we're going to... it was very clear, I mean, clear to a degree that we were moving, and that just seemed so clear. But then it got to this point. I got done with our last class for our third year, and we had this barbecue and stuff, and it was that afternoon, I believe. I think it was a Monday. And it was just like, we had put it on the market. That's right. We had already had the house in the newspaper. I had made a website. I mean, this is 9 years ago. I mean, I made a website that with the address, the name of the street and the address as the website name, put it in the paper, made a website and all the details and pictures and everything. I had it in for a few weeks. And so we're going, but we had some open houses, but not a lot of, some interest, but nothing substantial. And I'm telling you, so I just got done with this barbecue and stuff that morning. And it was like, I'm just going to work. I'm not going to, my classes are done. And I go to work that afternoon. And I was like, the thoughts started hitting me. Well, that's all fine and good. You say you're leaving. You say you've told everybody you're leaving. School's done. Only one problem. You have a house that you need to sell. And the market is slowing down. And you still have to sell this thing. And you haven't had any action on it. What are you going to do? You can't make your house get sold. It's a lot easier to buy a house than it is to sell a house. Yeah, you can go buy a house. Selling it's a different thing. And these thoughts just started nailing me. I'm trying to work. Because at that point, you know, I worked out of my home. I was a contractor doing software. I was trying to concentrate. And I'm telling you, it's just like a machine gun hitting me. The thoughts, just like this. What are you going to do? You can't make this happen. And I started to talk to Shelley, and I was just getting myself worked up. I was just like, I don't know. I mean, this, we've already had it on the market. Now we're, you know, we got to move if we're going to move. And, you know, we already put it in the paper, and we're not really seeing anything there. And time's getting done with school and all this. And I, you know, getting worked up and not be able to focus on work or anything. And it was someone right through that, the phone rang. And this lady said, I saw your house in the paper. I want to come over tonight and look at it. And so she did, and she bought the house that night. She came over, and we had a signed contract that night. So she is looking at the paper. And that's when I'm getting all these thoughts. She's about ready to call us. And I am just getting pummeled. Like, there's nothing. I mean, what's going to happen? Where is everything? We haven't even got any nibbles. I mean, putting on the blah, 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 blah. I'm just listening to the wrong thing. And I'm spewing it out. I'm saying the wrong thing. It's coming in, and I'm just telling Shelley, and we're both getting like, eh. And not even 12 hours later. Done. No, the enemy will push on you when you're really close. Because if he can get you to do something, to disengage from whatever you're working towards or you're going towards, then he can defeat you. He's a liar. So just because you're hearing things and, well, you just don't know, that's why you have to go back and say, look at what happened. So see, now that's one of the things that I have in my belt, that when there's certain situations, well, you don't know. I'll look back and go, I remember when I sold a house in Broken Arrow, and I did not know this lady was going to call. And it was that night. And so that's something that I'll remember. I have a list at home. It's in a document of these things. Back to when I was, and I was doing this week. Just going back and thinking about something. I didn't get out the list, but I was just thinking. I remember the first apartment I got in Lincoln, Nebraska, the first internship I got, the second internship I got, the second apartment I got, the first car I got, the car when that one got totaled, the car I got to replace it that was better, the first suit I got, my house that I got, you know, the first full-time job I got, getting to go to Abundant Life Church in Nebraska with Pastor Gill and getting to go to that church and the different things that happened there. Shelly coming in, do a music workshop. I mean, I just have this list of things that God was faithful here. He was faithful here. He was faithful here. He was faithful here. He was faithful here. And you remind yourself about those things. And then the devil's telling you, yeah, but this is not going to happen here. Say, yeah, but I remember how I felt then. And you told me the exact same thing. And here I am. And there's 10 things in between there and here. So you're a liar. Shut up. If you remember, it makes you stronger. It makes you get your feet just stable and go, we're going on. Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but I didn't know then, and that's the same thing you told me. Shut up, and we're going ahead.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. That's part of it, though. Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. So we talked about this, specifically focusing on you remembering what God has done for you. Today I want to get into a little bit about reminding you this process. So we have to remember things that God did for us. We also need to be stirred up about the truths of God, which is why we're all here, one of the reasons why we're all here this morning. This is one of the reasons you and I go to church. Yes, I know, I'm the one preaching. If I told you, I mean, how many times I get ministered to when I'm up here preaching, just like you guys do. It's different. I mean, this isn't the only thing, you know, I take in, but I'm telling you, I will get done with a sermon and be like, wow, I got something out of there. And then my sermon will come back to me in the middle of the week, the thing I preached on. Why? Because it's not just, if it was purely me generating it, that would be one thing. But when it's the Lord coming through and His Word is anointed, we are all coming together to get reminded of what is truth in our lives. You need a constant injection of this. You do. You think you're going to sail. And you're just going to just sail through things. This is one of the enemy's tactics, is to say, you're built up enough, you don't need anything right now. And you know what? If you filled yourself and got pumped up with the Word, and some good things have been going on, yeah, you could go for a little bit. And you know what? Well, I didn't really spend much time in the Word today, but look, I feel just as good. Well, I haven't been to church this time, but that's okay. I feel just as good. Watch out. Because He'll let you coast like this, and what you don't realize is that you're being depleted just going through life. It's like the food you ate last Thursday. Probably not with you too much anymore. Some of it is, you know, because that's what we're made of, right? Food, somehow it transforms and this is our body, right? But, you know, the strength is not there. You're not drawing a lot of strength from that food. You have to continually eat. Well, this is the same thing with the Word of God. And so if you think, I'm just going to coast, what's happening is you're being depleted of strength, whether you know it or not. You need to live on the Word of God, and God ordained that we would come together, and through the anointing, the anointed Word of God being preached, that's part of our being built up. And so if we're not careful, we are being depleted. We don't know it, and then something comes up against us, And we feel like, I don't know what to do. And it is a much bigger deal than it should be. And that's not because sometimes that the thing in front of us is so big. It's that the pressure on the inside, how built up we are, is not there. I know I've shared this before, and last time I said it, I think people, you weren't really familiar with it, but bears repeating. You guys are familiar with the experiment where you take a gas can or any kind of container, it's science experiment, they show this, and they heat up the air inside of it. So when air gets hot or liquids get hot, it expands, right? So if you heat it up, there's less of it actually in the container because it expands. So the stuff that is in there, the air, the molecules are actually expanded. And so there's not actually as much gas or air in this situation as there would normally be. And maybe they use a different gas or something. But anyway, they heat the thing up and then they put the cap on it. And what happens is, whether you know it or not, we have pressure pushing down on us just in the atmosphere. There's atmospheric pressure, right? Right now, we all have pressure pushing down on us, even though we're not really conscious, because it's also pushing in on the outside as well, because you breathe in the air. It stabilizes your body that way. Well, if you heat up the air in a container, then put the cap on, there's no gas is going to get in or out. That means whatever was in the container before, when it was heated up, is still in there. Now, as the gas cools down, it shrinks. Now, there's not as much pressure pushing outside on the inside of that container. So what happens is, I've seen it done with the gas can. You'll heat the thing up, put the can on, and then they let it cool. And as it cools, the gas can just implodes. Anybody ever seen this? It just starts shrinking, it just cracks up. It's like somebody's hitting it. It's just like, it just shrinks up. Why? You know what's happening? That inside is cooling, and you know what's crushing it? Just the atmospheric pressure. The pressure that's there all the time crushes that can. Like you would look, it looks like just a bite. I mean, something just took it, put their hands around, just crushed it. But it's nothing but the air pressure. You couldn't say that the air pressure just suddenly got way stronger, could you? No. What is the problem? The pressure on the inside of the can is much lower. And so it can't handle the normal pressure. And this is exactly what happens to us. So we'll get depleted because we're not staying built up and reminding ourselves of what God has done and what the truth of His word, and then we're not aware of it, the fact that this is being depleted, that this is that just from going through life, that we're bumping up against people that are unbelieving, that the society is unbelieving. They're not pointing you to God. You have things that are saying there's no God. When something says there's no God and you're saying there is, do you realize you're resisting something? Do you know that takes out of you? When you see things that are ungodly around you and you're like, no, that's not right, you realize that's pulling things out of you. If you minister to people, for sure, it's pulling out of you. Whether you know it or not, you might feel so full, and as you pour into somebody else, it's pulling out of you. So what happens is you say along, you think, I feel great, I feel great. I don't need to read my Bible, I don't need to pray, I don't need to go to church. And what happens is then you bump up against something, and it feels like it's huge, and you guess what? Sometimes it's just normal life, and you're like, I can't handle it. Everything. Has anybody ever felt like there's too much going on? There's this and this and this and this and this, and it's just too much. Anybody? Well, sometimes you have a lot of things going on, but also sometimes the problem is not with all these things. It's with the fact that you are empty. And so just the normal life. Yeah, you have this, this, and this, but you've been handling it for years. But all of a sudden, it feels like you're going down. It's going to crush you. Why is it? Because we failed to put ourselves in a position sometimes to remind ourselves of the truth of God's word, and we need this constantly. You will need it till the day you leave this place, planet Earth. You're going to have to keep yourself built up. I don't care. You name whomever you want that you respect that's been in the ministry or walked with God. If they're still walking with God, they are keeping themselves full. You don't reach a place where the devil says, oh, look at him, international success and been walking with God. I'm going to leave him alone. I don't think that's how it works. If anything, it's the opposite. Oh, internationally, say, I'm taking you down, buddy. So do you think we just skate once you hit a certain... Well, if I were him, I wouldn't have to do anything. I know the truth, man. I've seen thing after thing after thing. There's no way I really need to build myself up. That's not true. You absolutely need to build yourself up because you don't reach a point where it's just... Even though you've seen this and you've seen this and you've seen this, again, the enemy will always tell you, that's all great, but it's not happening for you now. How are you going to counter that? You have to have the word alive on the inside of you. You have to have something fresh that is stirring you up, that is reminding you of what God's word says. And you say, nope, this is what's going to happen. Why? Because the word says it, and it's not something that you heard 10 years ago. You just put it into yourself again, and you're ready. And that pressure on the inside now is strong, and you're ready to steamroll some stuff. Amen. Let's turn over to a few scriptures. Turn over to Jude 5. It is so vital that we remind ourselves of the Word. That we put ourselves in a position to remind ourselves and to get stirred up and to get that internal pressure. Where it needs to be. Let's wait on Jude. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. Hold your finger in Jude, though. You and Wednesday night. Yeah, I plan to get back there. I've had them hold their fingers and I never got there. 2 Peter 1. I don't think that's going to happen this time, but never know. 2 Peter 1. Just a few books back. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. It says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Notice that. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. So, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by what? Reminding you. When you remind somebody, that means they know it. You know, when you remind somebody of an appointment, you don't remind somebody of an appointment if they don't know the appointment exists. You have a reminder in your phone of an appointment that you put it there, which means you knew at some point that you had the appointment. Okay? Well, I know this. Well, we need to be reminded. Verse 14, "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent," he's talking about leaving this earth, dying, "just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Let's go through that again. He says in verse 12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent." I would be negligent if I didn't remind you. You think we always need to hear just new stuff? No. So many times we need to hear again what we think we know, and it's the things that are basic and vital just to walking in this Christian life. You know, you don't need to major on minors. Yes, there's certain things that are interesting, certain topics that are interesting, but you can't live there. Now, some people just, they think they know all these things. They get into all these fringe things, and they know what they think a lot about these things. But as talk about vital life, that's if you're not feeding on that stuff, the things that are vital and basic and important to day-to-day life, you're not going to be strong in day-to-day life. You might know some, you know, fringe thing, not to say it's not important, but again, the things that you use every day are the more important things. Not the things about some obscure passage and something about somebody's opinion that may or may not be right. That's not what you want to spend all your time on. Okay, and in when we're talking about, when we're stirring ourselves up at church and hearing the word, we need to hear the same things. Because you may have heard it 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. And then you hear something again, you're like, oh, I see it now. I understand what all these people have been trying to say all these years. I understand it. I remember I heard Kenneth Copeland say this once. He was talking about, I think it was being redeemed from the curse of the law. And he was reading and he was like, he got a revelation of being redeemed from the curse of the law. And he was telling Gloria, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And she's looking at him like, yep, amen. He's like, no, you don't get it. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And she's like, yep, hallelujah, I understand. But he had gotten something on the inside that was higher than he had before. And have you ever been there? It's like, you know what you're saying. You're saying the same thing that you've said and that you've heard said. You know the person that you're talking to thinks they know exactly what you're talking about because you both heard the same recordings, both heard the same stuff. But you're like, no, no, I know what we've seen before, but I understand what they're really saying. Here, let me try to explain it to you. And you say the same thing again and it just doesn't go anywhere, right? Because you can't do that with spiritual things. Well, if that happens, this happens over and over. This just doesn't happen once. You will hear the same things, the same scripture. Because, you know, the New Testament is really not that long. The New Testament, which is the letters written, or the scripture written directly to us, all of the Bible, we need to be conscious of the whole Bible. You don't throw part of it away. But when you take text from the New Testament, I mean, it's not that long. There's not that much yet, but it's inexhaustible. And so you can hear the same things that you think you've heard, and if you have the attitude, well, I've heard that, you're already done. If at the beginning of the sermon, you know, preacher starts preaching, teacher starts teaching, you say, oh, I've heard that, you might as well just turn it off or leave. If you're going to have that attitude, you're not open that you could actually learn something from it right now. And how many of you think that we could always learn something and go higher? How many would be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I've arrived in every area of the Christian walk? Nobody. And anybody that knows anything, the Bible says, he who thinks he knows does not know as he ought to know. And how many have you've lived long enough to say, I know nothing. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. I thought I knew something. And now I realized I didn't know anything, and I'm just scratching the surface now. That doesn't mean you can't be effective. But just don't get into the mode you think you know everything. That's the furthest thing from the truth. So yeah, we need to be reminded. We need to be stirred up. We need to come back again and hear something, because the Word of God is sharp. It's living. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. But notice this, he said, moreover, so he said, I'm going to remind you as long as I'm here. But I think I'm going home pretty soon. But, verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So even after I'm gone, you're going to still need to be reminded. And I got to make sure you have a reminder. Somebody needs to be reminding you. We all need to be reminded. We all need to be stirred up. Amen. Now go over to Jude, where you have your finger. Jude 5. It says, but I want to remind you, Jude 5, I want to remind you, though you once knew this. Notice that. I want to remind you, though you once knew this. Can you know something, but because you don't keep it fresh, you don't keep it vital, can you lose it? Yes, you can. You can prove this real easy. You go back to some of the subjects that you learned anytime in elementary school, junior high, high school, some of the tests you crammed for, history or math or whatever. If we were to sit you down and say, what is the capital of this state, or who was, you know, this person in this company from this date to this date, all those things that you knew, some of it's just like, I have no idea. I'd just be guessing. And I don't know about that one either, nor that one. I have no clue. Right? But you knew it. At one point, you could go down and you probably, you know, you could have got a real good grade on the test. But you haven't used that stuff. There are other things that you learned that you've kept using all these years, and it's still sharp. Right? Well, same thing spiritually. Right? There are things you can be strong in an area, but if you don't keep it stirred up, if you think, I've heard it all, I know it, I've heard this person, this person, this person, I have like, you know, 19 notebooks full of notes, I have all these real tapes, I have 8 tracks, you know, and then I have MP3s, I got CDs, I have it all. I can just coast because after all I know it, you pretty soon, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you don't know. It's like you can quote some stuff, but that's like a shell with no filling. There's no punch in there. Again, I use these people because, you know, they're you know, further in the Lord and have gone through some of these experiences. But again, I remember Kenneth Copeland sharing a story. He was on the road preaching, and he had some problem with his leg. And it was all swollen, and he rebuked the thing. He told Tony, it's got to go or whatever. And it was all, he would get in to preach, and the thing would go away, and he would be able to preach. And as soon as he got done, it would come back, and it was just getting worse. But he was like doing everything he knew to do. But you know what? He said there was no punch behind it. He's preaching. He's out preaching faith. He's telling people are getting healed. Because why? Because they're receiving the word and acting on it, and it's vital and fresh to them. But he's preaching it, and it's coming through him, but he's not in that same position. What he's going off of is stuff that has left him. He's let himself get worn down by his admission. I mean, this is on one of his recordings. And he said he finally got off the road and came home, and his mom was there and stuff, and he just centered in, and he got that thing taken care of. But don't make this mistake that, oh, I could preach and people are getting healed. That must mean that I'm going to be okay. People died that way. Back in the healing revival in the 1940s and 50s, there was healings left and right like this. But it was a lot of, there was signs and wonders and things going on, but people, those preachers didn't necessarily know how to receive for themselves. And Brother Hagin told him, he said, majority of you guys are gone, I'll still be here because I know how to receive it. I know faith. And one person said, I don't know a thing about faith, but I know Jesus. But they didn't know a thing to receive from themselves. But through that other person's ministry, people would get healed, 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 healed. But you know what? That came to pass. Almost every one of them passed away and young. But people are getting healed through their ministry. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that you're receiving. That doesn't mean that you're built up. And we all have to know this. We all have to stir ourselves up. We all have to put ourselves in a position to receive the word, to stay built up. Don't fool yourself into thinking. You can tell when it starts becoming like, yeah, I'm just quoting stuff, but there's no oomph. I don't really expect anything. I don't believe it. Then you wonder, well, why isn't it working? Is it real? Do you believe it? Do you expect something to happen? How do we stay there? We have to remind ourselves. We have to stay built up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's so much here. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Just go over to 2 Peter. I think we'll close with this. Just read this. 2 Peter 3. Just a few pages back. Glory to God. Second Peter 3, verse 1, it says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He said that you may be mindful of the words. You would be mindful of them. What does that mean? You have a mind full of them. Your mind is on them, that you would be focused on them, right? You would be focused on these words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. See, what's he saying? I want you to be stirred up and remember what is truth. Because there's going to be people coming that say, that's all nonsense. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it's going to be. Where's Jesus? Where is he? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Do you ever hear things like this? What? So what? When's Jesus going to come? Been saying it. No, it's just the same thing. It's just the same thing over and over. This generation's going to go away, then the next generation. It's not going to happen. You believe a fairy tale. Well, if you have that type of stuff coming at you and depleting you, you need to be mindful of what the Word says, and you need to come back and say, I see this stuff, and this is new information. I mean, that people are constantly coming at you with stuff, and that's come at you and trying to deplete you. You have to say no, but the Word says this, and be vital and stirred up about it. Because you can start to drift away from things you held dear and things that you were strong in. And if somebody talked to you, you'd be like rock solid. But if you're not careful, you can start drifting to where you're starting to be swayed by stuff. How does that happen? That happens because you're not focusing on truth. You're not focusing and keep this strong. And so these other things can distract you and start to look like maybe these things are true instead of what the Word says. We got to be careful of this. We got to stay on it. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Lord.